It's been a massive year in crypto. Big price movements, headlines everywhere, with major institutions and even countries getting involved. If you've been curious but feel like you've missed the boat, don't worry, there's still time. With only 21 million Bitcoin ever to exist, it's designed to be scarce, and that scarcity can mean real staying power. My friends at CoinFlip Preferred believe stepping into crypto should be simple, secure, and on your terms. That's why they pair you with a dedicated crypto expert who guides you through every step from your very first transaction to more advanced solutions. Plus, CoinFlip is a registered money services business and does not custody funds, so you stay in control and protected. With nearly a decade of collective experience, CoinFlip Preferred's client managers know this space inside and out. Ready to explore the world of digital assets with confidence? Visit coinflip.tech/founders or use promo code founders for 50% off transaction fees, valid for one customer until May 30th, 2025.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Founder's Story. Today, we have Erica Glenn. And Erica, you are an award-winning C-suite growth and healthcare executive, which I'm going to find really interesting to talk through corporate to business, because that is something I am a big proponent of and have experience as well. You're also a sought-after keynote speaker and business consultant, co-founder of Glenn Professional Services. Your recent TEDx on YouTube has over 500,000 views, which I've watched it a few times. It's amazing. But Erica, I'm excited to have you on, and I really think it's great to start off with your story and how you went from executive to business owner.
Yeah, so really excited to be here, first of all. So thank you for the opportunity. But I've had a really interesting career, went from a provider system in healthcare to a payer and PBM, and then over to a digital health startup or health tech company. And so in the process of just learning about business and all the things that need to be done in order to make a business successful, you get to a point where you really just want to branch out on your own and apply those same principles and help others with different problems that they're trying to solve to make their business more successful.
I know it can be really scary going from getting a paycheck guaranteed every 2 weeks to no guarantee of a paycheck. And I personally also went from working in the corporate environment to then being a business owner. How did you overcome this? And what do you see with other people when they do this transition? Because I think it's a pretty big one.
It's a pretty big jump. Certainly, if you have the opportunity, save ahead of time so that you have a little bit of coverage there, because it's going to take a little bit. Like, you need to kind of sit with it and figure out what you're good at, what you can market, and how you go to market to make sure that you're successful. It is a thought, I think, that sits in every entrepreneur's mind, but investing in yourself, you'll never lose.
How do you see investing in yourself even when you are working for someone else? Because I think there's this thought that I see many times. People are like, okay, when I work for someone else, I don't build my personal brand. I wait till I'm on my own, which I think is a big mistake. And I don't know, you know, not every employer is okay with it. Some are not. But how do you see people throughout their career building up their personal brand and not necessarily waiting till they start a business to do so?
Yeah, about 3 years ago, I started working with Heather Monahan, who was my executive coach. And I hired her because I wanted a neutral voice in the background. Certainly, you have plenty of coaches and mentors wherever you work, especially when you're an executive. But I wanted somebody that didn't have the bias or the agenda. And through her, she really pushed me to start with branding more broadly. I will tell you that there are employers that like it and there are employers that don't. I would even go further to say there are certain executives that like it versus the ones that don't. What I will say is even when they don't like it, your brand will come in handy. It'll help you negotiate differently, better. It helps you level up. People know you when you go out, and you're able to help other people in the process. So it brings great candidates to you, and it looks good for the business, whoever you work for, to have the bigger brand.
You know, the reality is when you work for someone else, you could be fired. Your position could be terminated. You know, things could happen that are totally out of your control. And so building that up, at least you have something to fall back onto. Now, when it comes to pivoting and changing, it can be really hard for people to understand the timing of doing so. Even just making a change from one thing to the next, many times people, you know, they can't let go of something to do that when they need to, when they should. I know you've had a lot of pivotal moments in your life about when you had to change and adapt. Can you go through what makes people do this in a successful way?
One of the best pieces of advice, or the best piece of advice I received at about 23, I had a mentor that was a chief technology officer, and he asked me to tell him my 5-year plan. And so, you know, I was an eager 23-year-old. I'm going to do all the things. I'm going to be a manager and then a senior manager and then a director, you know, just straight up the line. And he said, nope, that's not it. Try again. And I tried again. And he said, nope, that's not it. So after a couple of iterations, I finally looked at him and said, well, clearly, you know better than I do what I'm going to do. So why don't you tell me so that I can actually execute on it? And he kind of laughed and then just said, look, you have to be willing to take risk. You've got to be open to risk. And what I've done in my career has been exactly that. I was an IT person, turned to sales leader, turned into general manager of managing a $200 million plus P&L and close to 1,000 people. The skills didn't necessarily translate, but it allowed for me to take risk while I was still in that corporate type of atmosphere. I would tell you that last year when I exited CVS and went to Redox, which is the startup, I was not ready to go on my own. I was, you know, some of the fear probably held me back, but going to a startup and seeing the differences and just really the change and how substantial the change is gave me a lot of confidence that I could go out on my own and do what I do best.
I can relate. 5 years ago, I was terminated, or my position was terminated, and the company asked me to reapply for a new position. And I thought, this is the prime time for me to finally leave and 100% go on my own. So I feel like sometimes we need to be like pushed or forced to do something, because it is hard, right, when you're in that corporate environment, especially at an executive level, to then leave in that fear. When it comes to the misconceptions around scaling and growing a company, or even if you're an employee and you're scaling and growing the company that you work for, what are some of those misconceptions?
Yeah, I think the biggest is people can just go out and sell. Can I go out and sell to one person? Sure. Is it sustainable? Absolutely not. You also have it could be one salesperson, it could be 10. Nonetheless, you have to train them. And so it is really, really important that fundamental processes and systems, I'm not talking about IT systems, but systems are put in place to make sure that you can have repeatable sales over and over again. Otherwise, you're just really, it's a different sell every time you go out. So another is training. I think for your executives, anybody that's talking to people, your sales team, anybody messing with a client, there needs to be some sort of process letting them practice. You do not want them practicing on the client themselves. And that way you can also steer, hey, you did really great here, but try these three things. So it makes them better, but it also makes the presentation and being more buttoned up in a much better light as well.
Wow. I mean, sales is the lifeblood, right? If you don't have sales and you don't have revenue coming in, you could have the most amazing product, but it'll fade into history. When it comes to training and leadership, as you continue to, you know, lead more and more people into the thousands, was there something that you had to change within yourself?
Yes, a lot. And I will even tell you, when I started the executive coaching, I thought, oh, I'm going to change all this stuff professionally. It ended up changing my life personally as well. And I think that happens in many cases. But one really transformative way that it changed me, I was caught more of kind of a steamrolling approach, like I'm the boss, like everybody follow me. I've had three mentors. It was one of those folks. And after that individual left the company and moved on, I realized all that was doing was putting a target on my back, and I was making people angry. And so I had to learn a different way. And, you know, people talk about masculine and feminine energies. I kind of tuned up my feminine energy to make it more about the team and to focus on the strengths and weaknesses and being able to match those versus, hey, I'm the boss, do what I say. So I think just the change in that allows people to want to come work for me. And that's something I'm super thankful for.
That is a great call out. And the fact that you can adapt and change and recognize, I don't know if everyone can look deep inside and recognize what they are or are not doing. I think many times, I don't want to use the word stubborn, but many people are stubborn where they just, you know, whatever they're doing is the right way and they don't change. And that might hold them back in their career. Sounds like you've had a lot of great mentors. You've had a lot of people to learn, good and bad people to learn from. If somebody is thinking to themselves, you know, I need a mentor or I need a coach, what are some of the things that you look for, or how do you even approach somebody for that?
So I remember the very first mentor I had, mentoring wasn't even a thing then. And so it was somebody I respected a lot. I worked with him on projects. He was an executive. And I went to him and I said, hey, I want you to be my mentor. He said, what is that? And I just said, well, you just teach me the business. You teach me, you know, all the things I need to know to run a successful business. And he said, I'm happy to teach you, but I get here at 5 o'clock in the morning. This was 2 hours away from me. So for many months, I would get up to spend a couple days kind of in his presence before everybody came in, just learning from him. So it's really about finding somebody that you're working with that can give you feedback. You have to be open to taking that feedback to do something with it. But making sure that you're ready for that opportunity and willing to show up when it's presented is also important. If you're looking for an executive coach or somebody offline, again, that's where that brand shows up. You need to make sure that it's somebody that has been where you're going and also somebody that's compatible with you as a leader and generally so they can help you.
Amazing. I'm totally a big proponent of mentorship or hiring a coach, you know, finding someone that can really help up level yourself, because it's very hard to look within and see those things, you know, or to just guess what you think you need to do versus somebody who's already had the experience. When it comes to authenticity, as well as personal experiences, how can people use these when it comes to building their brand and how that brand is perceived by the public?
Yeah, I think if you have nothing else with your brand, and trust me, whether you know it or not, you have a brand. It's really whether you want to control the narrative. But the best thing that you can do is when you do show up in social media or wherever else, you've got to be authentic. Because if you're not, people can tell. If you're just repeating content, if you're, you know, just taking whatever from AI and posting it, people can tell. And typically when people meet me, they say, wow, you're so real. And it always surprises me and catches me off guard, because I'm like, well, isn't everybody real? But they're not. So I will tell you that a lot of the attention from social media or for me to speak has come from people being attracted to that quality of being really real and honest.
So the interesting thing, and I'm glad you bring that up. I would say you do seem very real, where some people don't. And I'd have to find, you know, why is it some people don't seem real? But when it comes to, you know, this piece of authenticity and showing up, I think many people in the corporate environment, they're not necessarily encouraged, or they don't see this as something they need to do. Where when you're like a founder, entrepreneur, you pretty much have to, right? Like if you're going to get business, you've got to show up. So how did you get over the fears of showing up?
So I think everybody still has fears. I don't care how big you are. And if anybody tells you different, they're probably lying. But you have to take a step at a time, right? Like if it's scary, do one thing and then follow it up with the second. And before you know it, you'll be able to crawl, walk, run, as we say. and kind of show up. I do agree with you that in a corporate setting, it is not pushed to have a brand. But I will tell you, in negotiations for exits and things like that, it's also very important that you have a brand, because people don't want you out there talking negatively, and you can negotiate on a much different level and much different terms to help you be ready to go start your own business.
So you're putting yourself out there, you're getting over the fears. Now you just did the TEDx, which it looked amazing. You're speaking all around the world. So what's next for Erica?
So this week I'm headed to Paris to speak on International Women's Day. And then next week I'm headed to Boca Raton to speak with an incredible lineup of speakers, just around it being Women's Month. So really excited about both of those engagements. And I have a couple podcasts coming up, as well as some interviews.
So one of the most important things, I feel like, is having a good strategy when you are starting, when you're starting something new, when you're entering a new product, entering a new market. And I know you have a lot of experience with go-to-market strategies and the things that you've built into the hundreds of millions in a P&L. So when somebody is starting out with that, they have a great idea, product, service, and they're ready to go. What's a good strategy, or what have you done where you're like, okay, this is what I always have people do?
From my career, my favorite way of doing this, we had a diabetes product or service that we brought to life. And we had brought in that company to actually sell to our customers. They exited the company. We had to build something. And so not only were we building something new, we were also selling against the people that we had literally like walked into to sit down with the clients. So in that case, I literally took a week away from the business, and I sat and kind of gathered all the evidence. I looked at market intel, understood the pricing, looked at the products, did comparisons, looked at, you know, what is the competition saying about us, and how do we go ahead and put that in the sales pitch so that when it's time for it to come out, there's no question to be asked. You've already answered the question. So I essentially spent a week just going through, looking at the product. I came back with a list of 10 things, and I said, you've got to change the product in these 10 ways in order for us to be as successful as we need to be. In addition, I came back with a new pitch. So I worked really closely with marketing. I had said, this is not going to work. Like, you're going to have to give me something different. We started from scratch, rewrote it. And then, just as I talked about earlier, I pitched against some of the biggest and best sellers that I knew over and over again until we could truly get the story where it needed to be. And once they were good, we saw massive success. We went 300% from a sales perspective that year, and were able to really triple the business. So it was such a great experience. The sellers really took hold of it because I sold with them that year. So I was able to teach them, but I was also in the field with them because there was just, quite frankly, so much to do. So I think there's a couple things in there: really understanding the product fit, understanding how to actually scale it, and how to get it to the in the hands of the sellers, as well as get feedback back from the environment, having a great and responsive marketing team to help you with that, and then practicing and making sure that things are tight and exactly the way they need to be for you to compete effectively.
I think it can be tough to find a good sales manager, sales executive, building a great sales team. For many founders and business owners, what I've seen is that is a big struggle for them. So when you're hiring this person, what is it that you are looking for, or what is it something that you would look for when it comes to, I would say, not the like sales reps, but a really, really good either sales executive or sales manager?
So the first thing is, in order for you to sell, your sellers have to stay like this. And the thing with sellers is they're either up here or they're down here. So you have got to have somebody that has a lot of emotional intelligence that can, you know, when you need to go toe-to-toe, you go toe-to-toe. If they just need somebody to listen, you listen. It's really about understanding where that seller is. And you've got to find a leader that has that unique ability and talent, because that is so important. I also enjoy more of a team selling approach. Certainly, I hold people accountable for, let's go ahead and put that to the side. But as long as the sellers complement each other, or even the sales leader is able to complement some of the other sellers, if they work together as a team, you're able to accomplish 3 times as much. So when you're working on those incentive plans, make sure that the sales leader's awarded financially for that, and also make sure the sellers are awarded to sell that way. So that would be the first thing. The other thing, you know, people love to look for contacts. The reality is this: people will go into interviews and say, I have a ton of contacts, and they're just on LinkedIn. So what I have seen recently, and I've even got some affiliate marketing partners that are doing this, they've hired me to make introductions for them and to go in with them to see if I'm a good fit to try to help them. So having an arrangement to try and then buy if you're interested and they're interested, it works for both parties. It's probably the best thing that you can actually do, because you'll actually get to try them out and see how good they truly are.
That's a very unique approach. I like that. It's almost like affiliate marketing, just kind of flipped with a unique spin. I've heard people say I have, 40,000 people in my network, but it legitimately is LinkedIn. And I don't know if they really know those people. So you have to be, you have to be cautious. And I appreciate you bringing that. Anyone's going to bring their A game to an interview. Like, you're going to say whatever you have at an interview, but can you execute is always, is always an issue. What are some of the things too, as you were building up in this company, you were building something brand new. You had to have this new vision. You had to have this new mission. You had to get everyone, rowing the same direction. What did you do in order to really rile everyone up with something that was brand new? It was uncertain. You didn't know if you were going to succeed. You had a lot, things stacked against you. Like you said, you were competing with the company that you were also working with. So it sounds like there's a lot of complexities. But how did you motivate everyone and continue that, getting everyone on that even keel?
So I'll give you an example. We built a weight management program when I was the general manager and vice president. And I was given 8 months to build. So I got dropped in the position, literally had one of the top sales leaders come to me and say, I need this program in 8 months. And I literally was like, do you know where we work? Things don't happen that fast.
I love learning a few words before traveling. It's opened up doors to new friends and unforgettable experiences, all thanks to Rosetta Stone. This isn't just any language tool. It's the leading program on desktop and mobile, immersing you naturally in your chosen language. With an intuitive design, you learn like you learned your first language, through real conversations without endless memorization. One standout feature is the True Accent Speech Recognition. It's like having a personal language coach in your pocket, refining your accent and boosting your confidence. Whether you're gearing up for a dream job, a trip abroad, or simply personal growth, Rosetta Stone's 30 years of expertise and 25 languages ensures you are in great company. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Founder Story listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has time to stress about website security? With Kinsta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, running a digital agency, Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by keeping your site online, secure, and performing at its best. They even have a user-friendly dashboard called My Kinsta that simplifies the site management with tools for cache control, debugging, redirects, and CDN setup. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, you won't experience any downtime when switching to Kinsta. Plus, their 24/7, 365 human-only support is available in multiple languages to help with any inquiries, no matter how complex. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Have you ever ended a long day tossing and turning, wishing for a night of truly restorative sleep? Did you know that we spend a nearly third of our lives in bed? It's no wonder March Sleep Awareness Month reminds us that every night counts. I'm Daniel, and I believe that a better night's sleep can change your life. That's why I trust Avocado Green Mattress. And you know, I've talked about this before. Sleep is so important. We've had so many guests on to talk about just how important it is, and something I'm so passionate about because of my own sleepless nights. Then I discovered Avocado with mattresses crafted from certified organic latex, wool, and cotton. Avocado offers unmatched comfort and support, catering to every sleep style. Not only does it help me wake up refreshed, but its naturally temperature regulating materials promote overall wellness. And as someone who cares deeply about the planet, I appreciate the Avocado sustainable practices, keeping our environment in mind too. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
Luckily, we had been building different pieces of other products that we were able to leverage, as well as kind of a network of physicians. And so it worked out really well. We were able to complete that. Keeping everybody motivated is not an easy thing. So it's really like, what are you going to do in addition to helping them? So are you ready to dive in? Can you keep everybody aligned? I would have governance calls, and I know that sounds super corporate-y, but truly it works, where you would especially get sales and product on calls to make sure they truly agreed and everybody was being heard. So I think a lot of it was the product teams were super excited to see the sales team selling. And so across the board, even in operations, everybody wanted to see it successful. So we celebrated every win as they started coming in the door, to get everybody in a good place and comfortable with moving forward.
I think there's so much that translates from a corporate job to business. I think people always find a way to separate those two, but you can take so much of what, from what I'm hearing from you, you could take so much of the learnings that you had and the experiences and then put them into a business, which I know you talk about with other people as well. So something that nobody wants to go in, nobody wants to experience, but we all do, is failure in business. I don't think anyone is going to be in business and not. And I mean, if you've never failed in business or you're not failing in your business currently, I mean, you have not lived, in my experience. No one has. It's not a road that's like paved in gold and it's so amazing and everything is great. And that can be very, very scary, like super duper scary. I've been through it myself. You feel like your world is collapsing. But what do you look at when people bring you in to turn a company around, or if they're at that point and they're just not sure what to do?
Yeah. So, you know, always go to the numbers first, right? You look at the financials to see what's going on. What does the cash situation look like, as well as sales? And then you start digging in the pipeline to understand top of funnel conversion rates. So really getting into all the numbers. If there's an operations piece to the business, how are you efficient and effective at operating? If not, what are some of those efficiencies? That could also apply to sales. So again, all of this is process and systems and making sure you have the foundation to be really efficient and effective and move quickly.
Well, thank you, Erica, for this. I know we talked earlier before about you had a mentor, you hired a coach. I have done the same. I think it's huge to be able to bring in outside perspective. And I don't know if you heard of the Johari window. You know, we can only see so much, right? We need someone that can come and see things from a different perspective and watch us to see what we are doing right or what we can work on. So if people come to you and they want to know about how that they can hire you as a business coach, what are some things you would tell them?
Typically, and I was not planning to coach, but I've had quite a few individuals come and say, hey, we coach. And so I typically have an introduction call to see what's going on with them. What kind of role are they in? What are they experiencing? Where do they need help? Because everybody is different. So whereas I may have somebody that's been laid off and really low, needs to be picked up and helped, I may have somebody else that is really out there in the job market that just needs the right connections and needs the right type of networking. So I try to look at a very customized approach to understand truly what that individual needs, and add tailor basically a program to that. And the cost is associated with what's also needed. So I think one of the things that I have seen missing in the coaching environment is not having deliverables, literally just saying, hey, I'm going to coach you. I try to put a lot of rigor behind it to make sure you can actually see the value and not just you as a person growing, because sometimes that's really hard to see, but also deliverables that you've been able to achieve as I've been able to help you.
But yeah, no, so that is great about having those deliverables. I think it really makes people feel more comfortable when they are getting coaching and stuff, because everyone is, I know so many people that say they're a coach, but I always question what is even their experience or how can they really help me? And so why would I hire them? But this is great. If people want to get in touch with you, Erica, they want to find out more information, they want to see where you're at, how can they do so?
Yeah, sir. I am at erica-glenn.com, or you can find me on most of the socials, definitely big in LinkedIn and Instagram. But yeah, those are the best ways to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you so much for all the information today, the tips, strategies, all the things you're doing. I know there's a lot of people that were in your shoes before or in your shoes right now, and they want to know what they should do next, where they're at. Everyone wants to obviously scale their business. We want to grow as entrepreneurs, which I think is great. And that's what we're all about, is impacting more people in business. But thank you so much for joining us today on Founder Story.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.